The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Tuesday, June the 7th. If you're listening to the podcast, if you are watching on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/pick6, it is Monday, June the 6th. And we are going to take a historical dive into some quarterback chatter. Joining us to do so, the unofficial NFL historian of CBSSports.com. You should like petition to get it in your title. Something about the historian factor. Brian DiArdo, what's up, buddy?
Not too bad, Will. Yeah, maybe I'll do that. As long as the checks come in, I'm all good.
Senior NFL historian. It's like, that's what I would shoot for.
That's right. You know, and the best part is I could be that for the next 40 years. You know what I mean?
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, get the title invented so that way you can lock it down and then nobody else can come along and steal it from you.
Exactly. Plug where your head's at.
Yeah, that's why always people are always like, what do you do? How do you get a job in sports? I'm like, oh, you finagle your way to whatever job you want, and then you do whatever you have to do to, like, you grit, hold on to it until you die,
exactly,
or until you're ready to walk away,
right?
Which death may come sooner. I'm a little under the weather, in case you guys can't tell. Although, as Debo points out, I did sound worse vocally last week. I feel worse right now if I start sweating or whatever. Anyway, we're gonna talk about the best quarterbacks from each decade and how you ranked him, why you ranked him, and debate about how they are slotted out. I'm assuming, is the article live on tbsports.com right now, or is it coming soon?
It's out.
Yep. Okay, it's out now. Okay, cool.
It's out. Yep.
Again, I've just been sitting in my, like, up in my office, like, under a blanket, sweating and watching TV while my wife yells at me for, like, risking getting my son sick. Anyway, the 2020s, looking at the best quarterback from the 2020s, this is an insane, I mean, it's not an insane take, it's just an insane concept that you can make. You made the argument, you were stating that the best quarterback from the 2020s is Tom Brady. Drafted in 1999, I believe. Mm-hmm. The best quarterback of the 2020s. That's outrageous that he would still be playing at that high of a level. Your runner-up, Aaron Rodgers, and honorable mention, Patrick Mahomes. So what's the criteria for just sort of, I mean, like, I guess we should probably go, what's the criteria when you look at this decade? Obviously, it's 2022. So, you know, it's early in the judgment process. I would think it would almost certainly won't be Brady by the time you do this in, like, 5 years, maybe it will be. Who the hell knows? I mean, but like, if Brady retire after this season in 2030, he's probably not the quarterback of the 2020s. Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, that's a great comp, Will. And I would say that an example would be Manning, right? So if we did this in 2012, Manning probably would have been the quarterback of the 2010s. Maybe not the first guy, maybe the second guy, because that when he was coming off his first year in Denver. And then as the decade went, he retired after 15. We all saw what he looked like at the end of 15, and then he kind of fell off the page. But, yeah, so, like, the criteria is kind of the same for all of them, where we obviously are going to look at stats, individual awards. So if you have big numbers, MVP awards, impact on the position in pro football. And that's where Peyton kind of, you know, you'll see he kind of ranks highly there. And even Brady, for the longevity that you alluded to. Team success, it's not the all, end all, be all, but obviously – if you're on a bad team, you're not going to be here. And then inclusion on your respective all-decade team. I mean, that goes a long way. If you were not an all-2010s quarterback, how can you be
winner, exactly. Or
even the runner-up? So those were some of the small criterias.
So, I mean, and we only have 2 years worth.
Sure.
By the way, of like when we're doing the 2020. So, like, right. If you're looking at Patrick Mahomes, in fact, Patrick Mahomes, by separating it by decade, Mahomes is actually hurt. Because you don't get to include, obviously, his 2018 season or his 2019 Super Bowl season. So, like, Mahomes' last 2 years have been very, very good.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like, no one's going to knock the Chiefs for their performance over the last you know, they went to a Super Bowl and lost to the Buccaneers in 2020, and then they, you know, lost in the conference championship game to the Bengals last year. They've been very, very good. But I mean, like, I do think it's Mahomes really doesn't have a leg to stand on as the best quarterback in the last 2 years. Even though I think if you took like the last 5 years, maybe you could make the case.
Right.
But just if specifically splitting out the decades, you know, it is true that like he's underperformed the last 2 years, but I don't think.
Right.
I mean, don't you think it's fair to say that Mahomes' last two seasons have been, you know, relative to sort of expectations? No, he had like 38 touchdowns and 6 picks in 2020. Right. And 37 touchdowns and 13 picks in 2021, and like sort of like two downish years, you know?
I feel like it's almost like with Tiger Woods, because I'm actually getting into golf, so maybe I won't be as good of an historian anymore because I'm now using my spare time on golf and not reading these books. So I'm not going to add to this collection. But it's almost like if you would have said about Tiger in 2000, he's going to be in 2022, he's going to have 15 majors, he's going to be second to Jack, he's going to be around the all-time winner in PGA wins, you'll probably go, that's awesome. He didn't beat Jack, so maybe it wasn't the height of what he could have accomplished, but you probably still take that. So with that comparison, after the 18th season with Mahomes, wins MVP, loses AFC Championship, if I say to you, Will, the next 3 years, Mahomes is going to get back to the Super Bowl and lose.
And Super Bowl and win, right?
Well, yes.
Yeah. Back to the Super Bowl and lose, and then
two Super Bowls and then lose an AFC Championship game. He won't win any more MVPs. Would you say that he's on the same trajectory? He dipped or he exceeded after the 18th season? Which of the three would you probably pick? I'd probably say maybe slightly, ever so slightly dipped.
Yes, I would say. Yeah, I would say. Well, and the other thing too is like, so he wins. So 2018 is just this monster, epic, like all like it's like, oh my God, Mahomes is going to be the best quarterback in football for the next 20 years. And then I actually thought in 2019 he may have played better quarterback than he did in 2018, but without the huge stats and, you know, just the natural sort of regression that comes, you know, with like, you know, having throwing 50 touchdowns and, you know, 5,000 passing yards. And then, you know, and they win the Super Bowl. I mean, that's huge, right? Like, and they, by the way, where would he be, you know, where would he be, by the way, if they hadn't had that crazy play to Tyreek Hill against the 49ers and they had three Super Bowl losses, like,
right.
You know, it's just interesting how fine the lines are. But yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think ever so slightly dipped, you know, like he played great down the stretch in 2020, but they really struggled early on with the offense in that season. And then 2021, I mean, he's played really well, but I mean, he wasn't anywhere near MVP consideration last year.
Right.
And you know, made the Pro Bowl, but they really should have lost to the Bills and not even made it to the conference championship game.
Right.
So, yeah, I think that you could say that if it weren't for the Super Bowl win, I think we would be having the hot topic offseason, is Patrick Mahomes like the new Dan Marino / Jim Kelly discussion. And that would be a nuclear hot take, but not really.
Yeah. Well, right. And even you look at the other quarterback that's here, Rodgers. I mean, I'm sure you watched that round table with Ernie Johnson and you watched them all golf, you know, Josh Allen, Brady, and Mahomes. Mahomes has been to one more Super Bowl than Aaron Rodgers as a starter.
That's crazy.
That's crazy to me. Two versus one.
Yeah. I was like, wait.
He's been to one more than Breeze.
Yeah, it's wild.
But to your point, he only still has one. So his career, honestly, is already been kind of fascinating because, like you said, one Super Bowl win since then, got back one more time. And we can all agree that loss wasn't his fault. I mean, it's actually one of the craziest performances by a quarterback that lost by so many points. Because what's one of the plays people remember from the loss to Tampa? It's that play where he's running around and he throws it just like falling to the ground. I mean – it was one of those, it was almost like watching LeBron getting swept by Golden State where you're giving Golden State their props, but you're also like, we're watching something happening to the losing guy. That's like the best player on the field is the losing guy.
No, it's crazy. Right. And yeah, but to your point, yeah, it's like, all right, is it easy to make him third? And then with Rodgers, if you're talking about just the last 2 years, of course he doesn't have a Super Bowl,
right?
But there are only two guys, you know, two year sample. Right? There are only two quarterbacks who have a Super Bowl, Matthew Stafford and Tom Brady. And Rodgers has, you know, won MVP back-to-back years, took his team to the, you know, NFC Championship game back-to-back years, won 13-3. Yeah, it's, I guess, actually, no, he didn't go to the championship game last year. Sorry. They got knocked out before it by San Francisco. It's like, it's just very typical Rodgers. There's no title. There's incredibly efficient performances on the field. Mm-hmm. You know, a bounce back in his career in a big way to win back-to-back MVPs. But there's no way you would take Rodgers over Brady, because Brady had a monster 2021 season two, could have been MVP.
Right.
And won the Super Bowl in 2020 in his first year with Tampa. Like, the only choice is Tom Brady.
Yeah, I mean, he's like got the best of both worlds. He's got the same amount. Well, Mahomes is going back to the tens, but like, he's got the ring. If you look at like the last 3-4 years or in this decade, he's got the ring and he's got all the stats.
Yeah.
Because like last year, and I have another article I think that just came out today, which I rank the top 10 greatest passing seasons ever. But you can only give one spot to one quarterback. So Brady can't have five spots. You have to pick their PR. You know,
what was Brady's best passing season? Was it
2021? I went to 07. But last year was the second pick.
Yeah, for sure.
Last year would have been the next pick, but I factored in that.
I mean, even last year he had more per game. Like, it's not like it's just the 17 game season. Like, he had he completed 68% of his passes and threw 5,316 yards.
Right. And you got to factor in that AB was hurt, missed time. His other receivers were hurt. So it wasn't like it was Randy Moss, Wes Walker, Dante Stallworth. It was, you know, a much more depleted receiving core. But
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Brady, I think, is a solid number one. And yeah, like you said, I mean, Rodgers has the MVPs. You know, his touchdown interception ratios are bonkers. Rodgers 2020 made that top 10 list.
Yeah.
That year he had the 48 touchdowns and the 5 picks. He's near the bottom, but he's on the list. But yeah, I mean, this one kind of evened out pretty fairly. I didn't have really any qualms.
Well, and also, like, Rodgers is notoriously like doesn't want to throw picks. You know what I mean? Right. Like, I'm not saying like he's, you know, I'm not knocking Rodgers. He just doesn't want to throw picks. And so that matters.
Right, and it's also funny, too. So if you look at, like, what's one defining play from each of these quarterbacks maybe this decade? Brady, it might be the touchdown to tie the Rams game that they just lost, you know, or the completion, the deep completion right before halftime of the NFC Championship game. Mahomes, it's probably that crazy throw or the end of the Bills divisional game.
Yeah.
Rodgers, it might be that third down where he didn't know what to do.
Oh, yeah. So you're saying, like, the defining plays are, like, oddly enough, like – like almost negative, like they are negative.
Yeah,
they're like little plays and losing. To the people in the chat, no, I'm not going to make a case for Matthew Stafford. He only played 1 year with the Rams.
Yikes! Yeah, no.
If Rivers, if I would make a case for Stafford or Rivers for the 2020s, like they haven't played only like Stafford had a year with the Lions. Sure, I'm of course a blind.
I guess we'll give Logan Wilson an honorable mention too, since he committed the holding call. But
there you go.
As the husband of an angry Bengals fan that hasn't gotten over it yet.
let's go to the 2010s. Probably spent too much time on the 2020s, but oh well. But 2010s is pretty similar because, you know, you have Brady as number one. And like, I mean, good luck arguing that.
Right.
I mean, who's going to argue that Tom Brady's performance from 2010 to 2019, in which he, I believe, won two MVPs. I'm not – how many Super Bowls? Three Super Bowls?
Yeah, he won three, and he went to three in a row, and they went to four.
Yeah.
Well, they went to five, I think, the entire decade, 11.
And it was just 33 through 42-year-old seasons.
Right, when most quarterbacks are going this way.
Are gone, like toast. Yeah. Right. And, I mean, he was just a monster. So, yeah, no argument there whatsoever. Rodgers – if you do the 2010 through 2019, you, of course, incorporate his not only his Super Bowl win, but also two MVPs. He's won four total, obviously the last two. So you get two MVPs, a Super Bowl win. And then, you know, you do have the down years where, you know, why is Mike McCarthy's being run out of town? But
right.
Your honorable mention is Russell Wilson, which I think is really interesting.
Yeah.
Because I mean, who is fourth place?
The debate here is, well, there's two debates. The first debate is with Brady, which decade was Brady better, the aughts or the tens? And he's not going to go far into his 20s, so I'm not comparing that. But the other one is, it would have been Breeze, And I'm kind of, I feel like Breeze kind of, but I make up for
Breeze Super Bowl is 09.
Breeze would have been in the tens if Russell wasn't, but I make up for it in the 2000s. The quarterback that kind of, if there is anybody that kind of gets gypped, it's probably Ben, because Ben, we'll get to the 2000s later, but you know, Ben isn't an honorable mention in any of them. And I actually had several guys in my initial draft in the honorable mention format. And then I just decided it got too mucky. Because then it's all right, where's Phillip Rivers? Where's Eli Manning? So it's like, well, if I can't have Eli, I can't have Phillip. So I just said, we're going to go one for each column.
I think that's a good move.
Cleaner. Yeah. Right. So to me, if it wasn't Russell, it would have been Breeze. To me, the championship obviously helped his case. Getting back to Super Bowl helped his case, even though we both know that didn't end well for him and against the Patriots. But just in general, like he was, along with Brady and Rodgers, he was the most consistent quarterback. Not just individual play, but team success. Won over 100 games with Seattle that year. And also, too, I mean, he was mobile. He played the game a little bit differently. And in general, like, we all remember what Seattle was like after Hasselbeck, before Russell. I mean, nobody cared about them. So he kind of, in his, I think I just wrote this recently, or I think it's actually in this article. He was the first rookie quarterback to win a playoff game in like 70 years or something like that. It was
anyone. They beat Washington, then they lost to. They beat Washington.
They beat Atlanta, I think. Yeah, they beat Washington with RG3, and then they beat Atlanta. So I'll get to the actual.
And then lost. And then they lost in the famous like Sherman. No. Did they lose it? Hold on, I gotta look at this. My brain is. Plunked.
Yeah, I think they lost. I think they beat Atlanta. No, they lost to Atlanta.
He lost to Atlanta.
That's
but he had a monster game against Atlanta because he became the first rookie quarterback to win a playoff game in years, and then he set the rookie record for passing yards in a single playoff game against Atlanta. But they lost, and then the 49ers beat Atlanta, and then the 49ers played the Ravens in the Super Bowl, I believe.
Right. So here's what that stat was. So. This is crazy. So it was Sammy Baugh, way back in, I think, 1937. Yeah. He had 335 yards in a playoff game. That was the most by a rookie quarterback until Russell Wilson broke it.
That's right.
So it wasn't because Big Ben won a game his rookie season in the playoffs. So that's what that record was. So I think he was the most consistent guy. He brought a winning culture to Seattle. He helped him win a Super Bowl, even though that defense might argue it was more them than him. But so that was the only debate here was if it was going to be Breeze or Russell.
Well, and Breeze, too, I think it warrants mentioning that, like, and I'm not trying to rip Breeze here or anything because he was incredible from 2010 on. But they did have those four seasons where they won seven games.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that's and it took that famous 2017 class, excuse me, with Ryan Ramczyk, Marshawn Lattimore, Marcus Williams, Alvin Kamara, all these dudes, like, and all of a sudden they turned it around and really made like actual runs. Like at I think it was 2016, but like it was either the owners' meetings at one point in between there, and like Sean, people were like, Sean Payton, like, Sean, do you think you're gonna get fired? He's like, I've got an extension in my briefcase right now. And everybody's like, what? Like, what do you mean? And he's like, right here in my briefcase, I'll sign it and turn it in if I want right now. We're like, what are you talking about? But like, I mean, it's hard to give Breeze the nod when are you talking about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 seasons, obviously, and four of them you win seven games, right, and another one you win eight games. Like, that's
that era you were national writing, right? That was before your podding. You were
actually writing. Yes.
Right. So I think when you're a national writer, you get a better perspective of who's relevant the most, because if a team is bad, like even Matt Ryan, how often do we write Matt Ryan articles? Like, not often, because they're not usually good unless, it was like, 2016, 2017, when you had a reason to write about him. But yeah. And I think so for me, it was like it's odd for a guy with those kind of numbers and the career that he had. There was a stretch, as you just alluded to, that he was, a real non-story. They were a non-story. And even his best season, which doesn't make my list of the individual seasons, his 2011 season, which was phenomenal. Like, he broke the then passing records for touchdowns, passing yards. His touchdown passes was 46. But like,
still couldn't win MVP.
Right. He still never won an MVP. And who remembers that season?
I mean, I do, but it's more remembered for the Packers and Rodgers, I think.
Right. And but like really that season, I mean, they lost in the playoffs to the Niners. And that was a lot of the Drew Brees story, too. It was like, because that is always part of the criteria, not the main criteria, but it's always what's the whole body of work? That's what Herb Street always says when they're doing the playoff thing. Like the whole body of work, you have to at least factor in the playoffs. And for Brees, 09 he did it. But other than that, you know, how many home playoff games did they lose? So for me, when I think of the 2010s, Brees was clearly the more prolific quarterback.
Yes, but Russell maybe more impactful.
More the face of that decade, in my opinion.
I mean, I think the problem for Brees is like, well, one, the biggest problem for him is that he got stuck playing with Tom Brady and Peyton Manning for like almost, you know, the entirety of his career. Like literally his entire career just overshadowed by both those guys. And then Aaron Rodgers came along. Right. And so, you know, and also if you split, like Brees is better off like 06 to, man, I mean, even it's just the four 7-win seasons is like, you would never see that from Tom Brady or Peyton Manning or Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I guess Aaron Rodgers kind of did it, but like,
right.
You would just never was Rodgers' worst. He got hurt 4-3, only played 7 games, and then went 6-9-1. He's had one losing season where he's played 15 games or more, right?
Right.
Like Brees had, it's insane that Drew Brees and Sean Payton, that Sean Payton had Drew Brees on a team and he led the league in passing yards. He played every single game, all but one game for 3 straight years, and they won 7 games in a row, 3 straight years. Like, that's insane.
Well, it also makes you wonder, again, I have family that are Reds fans, and forever they hated Votto. It was like, yeah, he hits 320, but he has all his big hits when we're down by 8 runs.
Right.
How many times did Brees deliver when they needed it versus they're down 28 and he throws 3 touchdowns, or they're up 28 and he's padding his stats? So – and I'm not too far into the weeds with the Saints to necessarily know that, but you can just look at the playoffs. All that prolificness didn't do much for them in the postseason. So, you know, I hate saying the word clutch gene and stuff like that, but it's like, you know, yeah, he was able to deliver in 09 and they were able to deliver in 09. Some of that was obviously far not being clutch and being too far from those moments in the NFC Championship game. But again, though, it was just like, there was always something a little bit lacking with Brees and lacking with the Saints. And you're right. And I mean, obviously now with Cowher being in the Hall of Fame, that's going to open the door for a lot more, you know, one ring guys. But it's like, man, I feel like when Peyton's case is up, we're going to have to discuss that. Like, you didn't do more with a Hall of Fame quarterback for 4 years there.
I mean, it's just weird to lose. It's weird to win 7 games in a row for 3 straight years. Like, you can't put him on an all decade. Like, you can't make him the best quarterback of the decade when he won 7 games 3 years in a row. You just can't do it.
Exactly. Right.
Okay, let's take a break. When we come back, best quarterback of the 2000s, Peyton or Brady, we will tell you next. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives, you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. I wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin. What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers? That's the butterfly effect for real.
You're good.
Obviously, I thought there might be an advertisement there. There wasn't. Anywho, I was waiting for like a Maverick topic thing or something. best quarterback of the 2000s. So you, I feel like you kind of, is the phrase split the baby? Is that the correct phrase?
Pretty much. Yep.
I feel like you chopped the baby in half, which is, sounds terrible. Like you look at, you're like, okay, Brady's going to get 2010s. And again, the nod, you know, the 2020s, 2 years in, I'm going to get Peyton the 2000s. And yeah. I think that's perfectly fair because Peyton Manning was insanely good in the 2000s. Now, Peyton, two Super Bowl rings. One is sort of a, you know, kind of a, you know, he stole it at the end. But hey, you know, started the Super Bowl, won the Super Bowl. Like you can say what you want. But I mean, he was great with the Broncos and then probably got like a, it's not an, the defense gave him an honorary Super Bowl ring on his way out of town. But there's no, I think that when you look at Peyton Manning versus Tom Brady, in the 2000s, like Tom obviously took off. I mean, clearly in 2007, he'd sort of started to go in 2005. He also missed 2008. But like Brady has more Super Bowl rings in that stretch, but he was also maybe more of a game manager until they started to really unleash. Whereas Peyton is just like, you know, won MVP back-to-back years in 03, 04. You know, won Offensive Player of the Year, circled back and got two more MVPs in 08 and 09. Obviously won his Super Bowl, in 06. I mean, it's like, you look at Peyton's record from 2000 to 2009, and it's just outrageous. Not only how productive he was on the field, but how, like, you know, he won the awards. He did get one Super Bowl. You'd like to see more Super Bowls for Manning, I guess, but it's tough in a Belichick Brady world.
Exactly. And you just nailed it, because that was kind of the point I was going to emphasize. So even after I wrote this piece, I'm reading now, I don't know why I'm torturing myself. I'm reading two books on the Patriots dynasty, the ones that came out the last couple of years. The second one I'm reading now.
I'm a fan to do that.
Right. Yeah. It's odd, but you know, it's interesting because really now I think why I would give Manning the nod even more so is because he kind of figured out the Patriots at the end of that decade. Because the first half, they had his number in the 03 playoffs and the 04 playoffs. He threw three interceptions to Ty Law in one game alone. There's that famous 03 game where the Patriots stopped him at the goal line. But by the end of the decade, he was able to out-Belichick. Belichick, where Belichick would mess them, rotating guys, moving Brewski around when he didn't need to before plays in 03, 04. By 05, Manning had figured out somehow how to see past that and beat Brady or Belichick's defense. And I mean, if they don't beat them in the 06 championship game, don't go to that Super Bowl, Brady's or Manning's number two all over again. But yeah. The fact that they were able to overcome that mountain, they were able, very similar to like when Steve Young beat the Niners in the, or the Cowboys in the 94 NFC championship game. Like, yes, like Aikman has more rings, but Young was kind of the more nobody would ever say that Aikman was better than Young as a quarterback. No. Like, they're both Hall of Famers. Now Brady Manning, you might say that, but it's a lot closer. And
I feel like if you took Peyton Manning and put him on Bill Belichick's team beginning in 1999, that like they probably win five Super Bowls
for sure. And Belichick believes that in another. Again, I don't know why. Like,
I feel like he might have. Has he said that, or is that mean like is he?
So the Ian O'Connor book that he wrote, the Belichick biography.
Yeah.
He says in that book somewhere he believes if he had a quarterback like a Ben or a Rivers, he could have done the same things that he did with Brady. But he believed if he had Manning, to your point, what they would have been able to do would have been off the charts. So he's never said that, but Ian O'Connor wrote it.
And it's like coming from Belichick, but not actually – it's coming from like Belichick believes if he'd been able to land – a true, like, hey, look, Peyton Manning is a one of like two, maybe along with John Elway. Like, right. Like when we talk about the slam dunk prospects, it was always, it was always Elway, Manning, Luck, and now Trevor Lawrence. And sure. Now, like, TBD on Lawrence, obviously. Luck retired early, so disappointing. Right. Elway met his potential, even though it took the two Super Bowls late for it to really qualify. Peyton Manning is like maybe the in terms of prospect hype to closing career, like, even though he only ended up with two Super Bowls, like, delivered the whole way. Like, you know, the only times of doubt were, you know, if you wanted to knock him for not having the Super Bowl, like, there was never any question that Peyton Manning was freaking awesome. And if you put him, it's not like Peyton Manning couldn't be clutch. If you put Peyton Manning on the Patriots, Belichick might have won 10 Super Bowls.
I think the only knock on Manning is he was so good, I think a lot of times he couldn't get out of his own way. And that's kind of the irony of the AFC Championship when they finally beat New England. Marvin Harrison, of all people, was in the huddle telling Peyton, call running play.
Right.
Got him on their heels, call runs. There was too far, and Belichick believes this with his coaching, as I'm reading. He always believes, even with all the numbers and logistics and all the analytics stuff, he believes at the end of the day, people are going to return to their primal instincts, which is, especially in Super Bowls, where if you're
that's why he didn't call timeout against, in theory, why he didn't call timeout against the Seahawks, because he's like, right. I'm going to let Pete Carroll
be Pete Carroll.
Yeah.
You need, just
ironically, by passing the ball, but yes.
Right, exactly. And so a lot of times Manning kind of played right into Belichick's trap. There's a funny story in the book that Belichick and Peyton are at some pool side, the Pro Bowl, and they're drinking a lot, and Peyton's downing Budweiser's, and Belichick's got Coronas. And the whole time, they're kind of playing footsie, trying to get information from the other, and right. Almost like going to that line but not crossing it. And they both left.
Like, so Bill, what do you, you know, when you're thinking about going up against like a steer wide left counter, what's your, hypothetically, like, what? And Bill's like, well, I don't know about that offense, but they're like, they're towing the line of actually asking for, what do you do against this specific thing?
Right. And they both left thinking the same thing. I hope they didn't get anything out of that. And then really, the ultimate respect for Belichick was when they went for it in that 4th-and-2 in the 2009 season, which that game ultimately decided home field. And the Colts go to the Super Bowl and New England goes home in the first round. And it was all because he respected Peyton that much that he'd rather miss on 4th-and-2 with 2 minutes left and inside his own 30, then punt and give it back to that guy protecting the lead. I mean, that's pretty.
Speaking of historians, Pete Prisco claims one of his claims to fame is that he nicknamed that 4th-and-Jackass, which just, I mean, just unbelievable purple prose from Pete Prisco. He's like in the middle of calling that. He's like, 4th-and-Jackass.
That's good stuff.
Yeah. By the way, as is only fitting, honorable mention of the 2000s goes to Drew Brees, who we talked about previously. Like, this is the thing for Drew Brees is he's just never, again, like, no one's going to think about the 2000s and think, oh, Drew Brees was better than Manning or better than Brady.
Well, let me ask you this though, Will. You can call me out if you think I'm wrong. I mean, should Ben have been in this spot? Because Ben was going to be the guy I would have put here. Think about it. 15-1, ended the Patriots 21-game winning streak as a rookie, rookie of the year. NFL rookie record for wins in a season. I think he was 13-0 that season. He wins two Super Bowls. Youngest quarterback to win a Super Bowl. First six-seeded quarterback to win a Super Bowl. Game-winning drive, Super Bowl 43. And I didn't have him here, mainly because I don't want to be called a homer anymore that much, because I get to be a homer a little bit later on this list. Also, I mean, Breeze, again, similar to Russell Wilson. What were the Saints before – after the Pat Swelling era of the early 90s to when Drew Brees came? I mean, there was a Tony Brooks era in there somewhere, but like, what were the Saints before Drew Brees? So he comes in, they go to the NFC Championship right away. They get to the Super Bowl. They win a Super Bowl. He doesn't win as many rings as Big Ben, but neither won MVPs. Both kind of put their mark on the decade. And yeah, part of that was that Brees didn't get it in the tens, but you can tell me if I'm right or wrong for my decision.
I would go Brees here, because I think I put Brees above Ben, and I think you need to have Brees somewhere on this list.
Sure.
Also, Brees didn't have a ton more years than Ben, because really his first 3 years in San Diego, he wasn't playing very well. He had comeback player of the year in 2004, But when he jumps to New Orleans, it's just such a shift. It's, you know, it's the ultimate what if in NFL history, right. And it's like such a cataclysmic shift in terms of what we think about the Saints and that franchise. Like they might be gone. Like they right. might be gone from New Orleans if Breeze and Peyton don't come and they win that Super Bowl, and like no matter what would happen the rest of their time there. And I also think that I look at Ben as more of like a great player, obviously, but
right.
definitely more of a game manager.
Right.
And you know, had that defense that helped him out. Also the 09 season, you know, the 09 win for Breeze against Manning and the Colts like change history too. Cause what if Manning wins the 09 Super Bowl and suddenly he's got two, and then like can the Colts even let him go if he wins two to right. go to Luck? You know, it's,
I never really thought about that.
That's yeah. I mean, like, I don't think Ursae can let him go if they win two.
Right.
Maybe right. he does. I mean, you know, but it wasn't that much longer afterwards that he was gone from Indianapolis because of the neck surgery. So,
right.
Just, I don't know. It's, yeah, I think Breeze is the correct choice.
And to top it off, Breeze has a Super Bowl MVP that Ben doesn't have.
Yes. So, and I just think when you think about the 2000s, like, of course you think about Ben, but like, I think about more about the Steelers defense than I do Ben necessarily. Like, Ben was clutch and made big plays.
Right.
And obviously had the throw against, you know, to Santonio Holmes. Wait, was that even 2000? Was that?
That was Super Bowl 43.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah. But I mean, it's, to me, I think more about the Steelers as a team, whereas when I think about the Saints, I think about Breeze and Peyton.
Now let's go one step further. What if Ben wins Super Bowl 45? Now Rodgers has zero, Ben has three.
So yeah, Rodgers is in hell right now if he has zero.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And also with Ben too, it also kind of goes into the class of 04 conversation, because like I didn't feel like giving Ben a spot in Eli. And I think obviously Ben's probably going to go down as the best quarterback of that class, mostly, but because he's the only guy that people agree is kind of a hands down Hall of Famer, but I don't think he's his career is infinitely better than Rivers or Eli. So for me to give him one of those and not give either of those guys one didn't really sit well.
Yeah, like it feels like if Rivers landed in Pittsburgh, he probably has a similar career path to Big Ben and a big
or better,
like,
right? For
yeah,
sure.
But if Eli lands in San Diego, like. I don't think he's winning two. I don't think he's magically pulling two Super Bowls out of his ass.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, right. like, you know. All right, let's go to the 1990s. Your best quarterback. Wow. This will go well with Cowboys fans.
Yes.
Your best quarterback, Brett Favre. Runner-up, Steve Young. Honorable mention, Troy Aikman. Why? I mean, I get it. Like, Aikman won the Super Bowls, but, like, somebody mentioned Joe Namath in the chat like a minute ago, but like, look, Aikman's a Hall of Famer. Don't get me wrong. Like, he's a legendary, great quarterback. But statistically speaking, he's not the most prolific quarterback of all time.
Well, right. I mean, the interesting thing is I think the best way to evaluate guys when you get further in the previous millennium, now we're going to. Over. Isn't it weird for the guys?
In the yonder days.
We're born in the 80s, and now we're talking about the old millennium like it was black and white. But anyway, I digress.
No, I mean, it's true.
I think it's better to look at things in individual games. So you look at Aikman's Super Bowls. And, I mean, you also have to factor in the second one they won, he was concussed, and today probably wouldn't have played.
Right.
And then 30, he had an injured Emmitt Smith. But all that being said, he completed 70% of his passes in three Super Bowls. I think he only threw one interception in Super Bowls. Super Bowl 27, he was 22 of 30 with four touchdown passes. And then in the 2 weeks previous in the NFC Championship game, the Niners are tipped off on a pass they're going to run. It's a one possession game. Aikman moves the spot that Irvin's supposed to be in, puts Alvin Harper there. The defense goes with Aikman. He hits Harper. So I think it's just accumulation of a very smart quarterback, a professional behind, you know, every game for Dallas. They knew they had a top flight quarterback. Because I think that was the biggest difference between, so you look at the 70s Cowboys, 80s Cowboys, 90s Cowboys. What was the one thing that was really different for most of that was Danny White was the quarterback in the 80s, and they got the NFC Championship games but never did anything in terms of winning championships. So that was a Hall of Famer. Aikman was a Hall of Famer, even though he wasn't the prolific passer like Marino or like Elway, those guys are going to make honorable mention, which is kind of crazy. To me, what they asked Aikman to do he executed it flawlessly. And that to me is the biggest reason why he made the list.
Well, and Aikman is crazy. Like in 1991, they beat Buffalo in the Super Bowl, right?
92, yeah. 91, they beat Chicago in the first round, and then the Lions murdered them in the divisional round.
Okay, that's right. All right, sorry. I was getting confused, the playoff dates, right? Because it said 92, but it meant yes. That's so 92,
Aikman. Well, back then you get it all in one season. Now you can't anymore. Now
I know. Aikman throws 23 touchdown passes in the regular season, which is not like a mind blowing number, but it's 1992, whatever. He then proceeds to throw 8 passing touchdowns in 3 games in the playoffs. Like, if you look at his playoff log, you're like, damn, like this guy put up numbers. But then you go back and look at the regular season, you're like, oh, he didn't really do much, because they were content winning with that running game and winning with the, you know, the stout offensive line and controlling it with the defense and, you know, doing all that, right? I mean, like, that's
the tale of Aikman. Aikman was, if there's one word I would describe for Troy Aikman, it would be surgical.
Yeah.
He was a surgical quarterback. Like, he and I think a really, you know, underrated tight end. You know, he used Jay Novacek all the time. He'd throw to Moose Johnson every now and then. You know, he would play. I mean, Irvin was a great possession receiver. And I know he made a lot of really good plays downfield, but he wasn't Randy Moss. He was arguably the best possession receiver we've ever seen. Alvin Harper was kind of the deep threat that they had. And then, and like you said, I mean, he was honestly almost like a early 90s Bradshaw or a early 70s Bradshaw in the 90s, where it was a run first offense. But when they had to throw, he threw. And like I said, I mean, I maybe did at one point, but like if you rank the top 10 best quarterback Super Bowl performances, I mean, his performance against Buffalo in 27 is right there. And he was 2-0 against Young in NFC Championship games, and he was 1-0 against Brett Favre. And again, to your point, the guy didn't make mistakes, rarely. And in that NFC title game against the Packers, Favre made the critical mistake and Aikman didn't. And Aikman, again, didn't litter the sky with footballs. He just perfectly executed the offense that they asked him to run.
You also wonder, like, what would have happened if Jerry Jones could have kept it, you know, like had a drop of humility and could have just let Jimmy Johnson hang around for, you know, longer than what, 4 years? I mean, or 5 years or 6 years, whatever it was. Like, you know, I know they won in 96 with Switzer, but it's like if Jimmy John, I mean, and maybe that's just not how Jimmy Johnson would have worked. Like, maybe he's not, wasn't meant to be somewhere that long.
You wonder if Jimmy's telling the truth when he says that he was burned out and he was looking for a reason to leave.
I think Jerry was grinded on him, and Jerry wanted more credit and wanted more personnel control. And Jimmy's like, no, that's not.
Here's what I think would have happened. I think they would have won one more and then it would have been done.
Okay. So you think,
I think for Jimmy, you win 3 in a row. Yeah. It's almost like when MJ won the 3rd in a row and it was
like, I got to do a 4th. Like, I don't know if I got this in me, man. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, you know, he would have won that and he probably would have been ready to go to Florida, doing what he's doing now. He would have went to the Keys, and they still probably, I think they may have maybe left one on the table, but I think at that point it was the Packers' time.
But they got one anyway with Switzer, right? Like, I mean,
right. And I think if at most with Jimmy, and maybe Jimmy leaves after 94 and then they get Barry in 95, and maybe they in 97, 96, somewhere, maybe they're, because they did, they, no matter what, they owned Green Bay. Even in 96, they beat them 21-6 with Chris Boniel kicking 7 field goals. So even 96, when Green Bay won the Super Bowl with Barry Switzer there, they still had their number. But I think at most that Dallas team, because they weren't drafting as well at that point, their defense was getting older. So I think 4 was their max. They maybe left one on the table. But
okay, fair enough.
4's not bad.
Yeah, so 3 of 3. Yeah, 3 will work.
Exactly.
You mentioned Young as the number 2. I mean, it's, you know, look, he was in Tampa in the 80s and landed with San Francisco and sat on the bench for a few years and then takes over and wins 2 MVPs in 2 years. Runner-up in 93. 3 first-time All-Pros and wins, 3 Super Bowls in that stretch too in the 90s?
Actually, Will, I'm glad this just
came up. Or does his Super Bowls count with the – was he on there with Montana when he picked up the
– he won 3, but he won 1 as a starter.
He only won 1 as a starter against the Chargers. That's right.
Yeah. Right, so this is actually funny. The reason – honestly, man, one of the reasons why he's not number 1 is kind of because of Aikman. So if you look at the 94 NFC Championship game, the Niners go up 21-0 very quickly. Dallas kind of got in their own way. So from that point on, the Cowboys have to just throw with Aikman. It's almost like with Steph Curry, it's almost like everybody else is hurt. Just shoot, bud. Just shoot. Aikman threw for over 400 yards in that game. They almost come back and win. Young, I think, threw for like 165 and really didn't look that good. They still won, and that changed Young's legacy. They win the next year. But that was one of the few games where they just said to Aikman, dude, just zip it. Like, we need you. And Emmett was hurt in that game. But
He was transcendent.
He was transcendent. He had the hardest act to follow of any quarterback ever. And he did it, and he won a ring. And seven, you know, Pro Bowls in a row, and was, I think, the most, had the highest passer rating of any quarterback in history during his retirement. I'm sure now it's not.
Right. Now he's like, like eighth or ninth all time.
Right. But back then in our day, I mean, he was the guy you looked at for efficiency. He was that era's Drew Brees, where every year he
with the mobility of like a Michael Vick. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. And he could run the ball. He was the leading rusher in Super Bowl 29. So he was kind of everything, and he was left-handed, which was, you know, unique. He was kind of easy for me, number two. I know a lot of people actually would argue he was number one because of his efficiency. A lot of people think he was a better quarterback than Favre, and I'm not going to argue that. I just disagree, slightly disagree.
It's insane to think about having Favre with the Packers, Young with the Niners, and those Cowboys teams, and like trying to get out of the NFC.
Oh yeah.
You know, like, I mean, you're just, I guess you could, I don't even know what the comparison is. Cause it's like, you know, back then, you know, you weren't as spread out with free agency and stuff. So like, you know, you're these teams were loaded.
Right. Oh yeah.
Both sides of the ball.
Right. If you look at, I'm trying to think, I mean, look at the NFC East. Washington won it 82, 87, 91. Dallas won it 92, 93, 95. New York won it 86, 91. That's just one division.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's one division.
The Eagles won any during that stretch? I can't remember.
13 in a row. Yeah!
That was the Eagles dunk. Just a little, unnecessary, too. Devo's been so nice to me for just in general. But like,
sorry.
No, it's my fault. An unnecessary Eagles sideswipe.
I'm trying not to hate on the Eagles. You know, I'm trying to be nice.
That's right. I'm an Eagles fan this year anyway.
I mean, Donovan McNabb in the 2000s. We didn't even really glossed over him, you know?
He's not on that list. It's a nice try, though, DeAndre, to be kind with you. Favre won three straight MVPs and a Super Bowl. You know, I mean, I think you could argue that from a pure volume, just if you think about quarterbacks from the 1990s, it's hard for Favre not to be the guy. Like, I got to college in 99, and if you're betting on sports in college, you know, 99, 2000, et cetera, it's like you just don't bet against Brett Favre in a big moment. Now, did he win the Super Bowls that he probably should have? No. You know, it was the end of his career. Like, you know, the final couple of years were disappointing, but those were, you know, we're talking late 2000s. So, I mean, then they're qualified. Like, 95 to 97 Favre is it's about as good as it gets.
Right. Not to mention that he had to go to rehab.
Right. He's also a little opioid rehab in the middle of that. Right.
Right. I mean, 96, he had to do that. And I remember I was my 10-year-old self sitting in the car and sports radio is on. He comes out of rehab and the first thing he says is, we're going to win the Super Bowl. And I remember everybody was like, should he have said that? And I remember sitting there, I'm like, they are going to win it. What did he say that was wrong? They went to the NFC Championship game last year. They did. It's funny when you're a kid, things are a lot simpler. It's like, well, they were really good last year. They had Brett Favre. Dallas isn't as good.
Does that fit the narrative of what he should be saying out loud? It's like, well, I mean, they might just win the Super Bowl. Like, it's like, yeah.
Right. Is it really that dumb that he said it and then they did? You know, it was like, you know, I obviously he threw a lot of interceptions, you know. It's funny now because I think 96 is his best season. He had 38 touchdowns, 13 picks. 13 picks now.
39, 13. There was 38, 13 in 95 and 39, 13 in 36.
There you go. Okay. Right. Yeah.
But still, like,
funny that we're like,
a monster season.
Very monster. And 96, he didn't have Robert Brooks got hurt that year, and Freeman got hurt, and Mark Chamora got hurt. So there was a period where he's like thrown to like the guy that they drafted out of Notre Dame, who I can't, you know, even remember his name right now. It's going to be at 4 o'clock this afternoon. So then they have to draft Andre Ryan, or they have to trade and get
Desmond Howard.
Who?
Desmond Howard?
No. Oh man, what's his face? They drafted a guy that year at a Notre Dame in 96. Desmond Howard was on the team. He was the MVP of the Super Bowl that year. But yeah, I can't recall.
Was he in the wrong year?
It was a receiver out of Notre Dame they drafted. The receiving corps pretty much was like nothing. And he still throws 39 touchdowns, 13 picks. I mean, that was back in the era where if you threw over 3,000 yards, you were a good quarterback. And he almost hit 4,000 yards, I think, that season. He was 38.99 or somewhere in that vein. So you're going to have to make me Google the 96 Notre Dame Fighting Irish to see the receiver they drafted.
I know, I'm trying to find it right now. Was it 97 or 96 when he threw to the
Let me see here. 1995 Notre Dame football. I'm going to have to see this. He did not catch a pass in their Super Bowl loss to Denver. They threw him a pass. Man, the foxholes that sports conversations take you
to. Oh, it can take you so into some dark places, for sure.
I remember the running back was Autry Denson because I was for whatever reason a Notre Dame fan back then. Let me see here. Mark Edwards was their tight end. Derek Mays.
There you go.
Derek Mays. That's right.
You look at these Packers teams, you're not like, wow, they're obviously very good, but you don't look at them and think like, man, they were just loaded.
Right. I mean, they had Dorsey Levens, Edgar Bennett, Mark Chamora.
I see Derek Mays on here now.
Yep. Good old Derek Mays. So,
rookie out of Notre Dame. Oh, you're right. Yeah. It's like he was inactive for the first five games of the season. And then they're like, well, hop on in there, Derek.
Played Kansas City back when they had like Derek Thomas and Neil Smith. And there was a stretch in the 96 season where they had lost some games and people were like, what's wrong? And it's like nothing's wrong. Favre is throwing Derek Mays. Like, what do you? Right. He's throwing to stocky Dorsey Levens. Like, what else you got? So, he was in the playoffs. He didn't put up monster numbers that year, but like he did something that very few quarterbacks have done. He beat a Parcells Belichick defense in the Super Bowl, and he was a gunslinger. But he called two audibles in that game that led to the two biggest plays, and he ran for a score. I don't know if you agree with me, but like, yeah, I mean, Young may have been, and again, it's also like, who's your favorite artist? Who's your favorite musician? A lot of picking your favorites is when it gets down to the brass tacks, when it's guys that are this close, a lot of it's your personal preference, right?
Right. Like you may, like, I'm sure there are plenty of people who prefer Troy Aikman because he's a winner on the couch. You know, it's like, if you like rap music and I'm like the greatest, if you don't like, if you like rap and not rock and roll and I'm like, the Stones are the greatest band of all time, you're like, no. You know what I mean? It is, there's personal preference that goes in play.
I mean, nobody's going to ride with me on 50 Cent being a top four rapper, but, I'm going to keep rocking with 50. It's okay.
There you go. It's all personal preference for sure.
Right. And we didn't even, not even making the 90s was Marino and Elway. And the main reason with Elway, honestly, was he won his Super Bowls when he was not the.
He wasn't peak Elway. He won the Super Bowl. Yeah. He won the Super Bowls because of Terrell Davis and.
Yeah, he had a great team, which is fine. That's no knock on him, but he wasn't John Elway anymore.
Yeah, he was. Elway of the 80s was certainly much better. All right, let's even table, unless you want to, let's see if we can blitzkrieg the 80s, 70s, and 60s real quick.
Because works just, for me.
For time purposes. Montana, best 80s quarterback, I'm in. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in too.
Going Marino over Elway too, I think, is fine, especially if we're talking 80s, because Marino was probably, like, there's no reason Dan Marino didn't win a Super Bowl other than the fact that they didn't put enough around him.
Right.
If swap Marino and it's like we talk about Belichick. I mean, Manning and Brady. Like swap Marino and Montana, and I'm pretty sure Bill Walsh could have figured out how to make Dan Marino a multi-time Super Bowl champion.
Exactly. Right. His sheer talent, what he did in '84, didn't have a lot around him. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
70s, and so Elway was honorable mention there too. And again, won the Super Bowls in the '90s. Was peak Elway in the 80s. I mean, just great quarterbacks in the 80s. Mm-hmm. 70s, and this is where you mentioned your homerism. You get to pick Terry Bradshaw over Roger Staubach, honorable mention Ken Stabler. Is this personal preference or pure homerism? I got to tell you, Diodo, though, I did go back, I have to rank the Super Bowls every year, and I don't go back and watch them every single year, but
right.
It was just like 2 or 3 years, maybe 4 years ago when I started doing it. And, I would always sort of knock Terry Bradshaw just because – the stats are there, but that guy could go so vertical. If you put Terry Bradshaw on a modern passing game,
right.
I mean, he would big and strong and fit and could just could bomb it down the field. I think he's probably underappreciated for what he was able to do on the field because A, he's goofy in the studio, and B, like, you know, it's back in the day and the Steelers had a great defense.
And he called his own plays. And he was, so essentially he called the play, and he called it more of a running game. So he actually, I got to talk to him last year. He took pride in calling a good running game, which is, I think, is an unselfish thing and a pretty cool thing.
That is a pretty cool thing.
So we did that. Staubach didn't get to call plays even though he wanted to, and he was very vocal about it. He was 2-0 against Staubach in Super Bowls. He has a league MVP that Staubach doesn't have. He has two Super Bowl MVPs that Staubach doesn't have. Staubach was probably the better player, but Bradshaw had the better career, in my opinion. And he's kind of the embodiment of the rule changes that opened up the passing game, where Bradshaw before never threw for over 2,000 yards. That season threw for almost 3,000, 28 touchdowns that led the league, and then 4 touchdowns in the Super Bowl. So he was more, to me, of an embodiment of the evolution of football of that decade, and he was the quarterback of the best team.
That is wild. He's like, hasn't thrown more than like 2,000. He's all of a sudden 3,700 passing yards, like 29 passing yards and 28 touchdowns. He leads, MVP of the league. Stabler, always fine with that as an honorable mention there. Underrated quarterback too. 1960s, Johnny Unitas, runner up Bart Starr, honorable mention Joe Namath. Who got snubbed? I mean, is there a snub here?
Len Dawson's the snub. Okay. I think he was a better quarterback than Namath, but part of the criteria is legacy. I mean, Namath authored the greatest upset in Super Bowl history.
Yeah. And called a shot.
I'm sorry?
Called a shot, too.
Shot, right. Right, with young Brett Musburger creeping on him on the pool side. But and Namath is the first 4,000-yard passing quarterback. So he kind of has two pretty unique things that are all his own. Dawson was the better quarterback, though. Right. And so if there is a snub here, it's him. And Starr was the Aikman or Brady of his era. And Unitas was the Manning. I mean, just the best pure quarterback of – he's the best quarterback in the first 50 years of the league, and there's really not much – there's a large consensus there, I think.
Yeah. No one's going to be like, how dare you put Johnny Unitas over Bart Starr?
Exactly.
It's Johnny Unitas. He's
Even though, ironically, he didn't start in that Super Bowl. He got hurt before that year, and Earl Morrill came in, and that's where, if you really want to get romantic about football, that was kind of the passing of the torch moment at the end of Super Bowl III. Unitas comes in and kind of puts up the only points Baltimore scores that day, but it was too little too late, and there's a cool moment with him and Namath. So good stuff there. But still, he's the best quarterback of that era.
Yeah, I think 60s is easy. If you're getting any beef from, like, maybe it's 70s, 80s, I don't think anybody has any question with, maybe 90s, and then obviously Manning and Brady in the 2000s, right, people could argue with. But I mean, otherwise, I think a strong list. And you have, by being the unofficial historian of NFL historian of CBS Sports, right, you have the top to back up.
You got to copyright that, man.
Yeah, you should. I throw it in my freaking...
You are the holder of all the Super Bowl rankings.
That's true, but...
That is the golden goose. That's like the Masters.
You can have it.
No.
It's easy now, though, because I should add one per year. Like, the first time I did it was hell on earth. It took me an insanely long amount of time to rank it because I wanted to be right.
Sure.
And now it's like, I could just... Like, now I remember, I remember everything about it. I'm going to slot one in there.
Did you watch the games, or did you just watch, like, the 30-minute John Facenda things? Or did you try to...
It depended on which game. Like, some stuff you can't find.
Right.
You can't find... I mean, I guess you could. Game Pass, I don't think... Yeah. It just depended on what game.
Sure.
Most... I remember most of them.
Right.
And then you have this stretch in the 80s where it's like... a bunch of bad Super Bowls, for a long time, the Super Bowl wasn't, incredible. Like, it's been the last 20 years where the Super Bowl has really morphed into this, like, you get a great game every year. And if you don't, you're really disappointed.
Yeah.
All right, man, as always, good stuff, DiArdo. Follow him on Twitter at Brian DiArdo, I believe. That is correct, yes?
That's what it is, I think. I'll ask my 12 followers what they think.
Okay, we'll follow him on Twitter. Read his stuff on CBSSports.com. Thanks as always, buddy. This is fun.
Yeah, likewise, Will. Thank you, sir.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.